The Parkinson Spiegel Show.
Critics call it Empire meets Nashville meets Succession.
Afternoons on the Score.
Welcome back in on 670 The Score. It's the Parkinson Spiegel Show. Spiegs and Marshall Harris here with you all afternoon. Talking about what the Cubs should do. What you would do if you're in the front office and you have built this thing trying to be better than you are. It is miserable, but it is not quite time to declare yourself officially a bad team in a lost season and pivot to purely player development and maybe getting a jump on the trade market. It's not time for that.
The way you're framing it, it sounds like they're leaning to that.
It looks like it's headed that way.
They're going through a rough stretch. That's all I'm saying. Like, I'm not saying it's not possible that things fall apart, but let's not act like things are already falling apart. They're just going through a rough stretch.
It is severely, severely rough. The first move that I would do,
okay, give it to
and
me.
It's ridiculous to have to consider it, or at least to even entertain it, but now it is time, send Miles Mastroboni back down to the minors and bring back Nick Madrigal. You see what Nick Madrigal's doing? And it's like, and I'm not a huge fan. I'm a Nick Madrigal. I'm a more of a fan than Lawrence and others. But like, it's time to call up Nick Madrigal and see if maybe he figured out a little something. He's only had 11 games down at AAA, but he's hitting .488.
Is that good?
Yeah, he's like, he's had 41 at bats. There are 20 hits. He's walked 8 times. Only 5 strikeouts. I mean, he was lost up here in some ways where he was trying to like pull the ball and pull it with authority. And you can't do that against big league pitching. So they were all too happy to send him down. But at this point you send him down and he's hitting .488. Miles Mastroboni, I understand the value. He can run better than Madrigal and steal a base. He can play a few more positions and make you feel a little better about it. But the truth is Madrigal had given you okay defense at third base, except for a couple of real ugly early moments. I would go ahead and do that, at the very least. Call up Madrigal, send down Mastroboni.
It does come down to the margins, right? And that's like a marginal move. So, like, sometimes you just got to roll the dice and see if that... Mm-hmm. I mean, there's no reason to say, oh, well, Nick Madrigal can't come up here and, you know, at least perhaps carry over a little bit of what he's doing. AAA is not the majors.
Yeah.
But, yeah, you got to start shaking things up.
You have to.
And whether that's a lineup tweak, which is probably where I'd start, just like shuffling around the lineup.
You got one? Because I got a lineup tweak.
I don't know that I have one because I feel like everybody's been so inconsistent. Like, I might move Seiya up in the order, and like I like his, you know, his plate approach, everything else. Uh-huh. So it's just a matter of where you're putting everybody else behind him. Like if he's up, if it's Horner 1, Seiya 2, and then I go back and forth on this all the time.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like every night I'm watching the game. I'm sitting at my desk. I'm watching the game, and like situations happen. And I'm like, well, if they had this guy there and this guy there, but then I'm like, am I not just throwing stuff at the wall and open a six?
I think it's definitely time to shuffle things up. And I think it's
time. What would you do?
I would move Ian Happ up probably to the top, maybe to 2.
Okay.
Because there is no slug in the man's bat these days, but I think the on base is still at what, .395? I'd go Happ and Seiya at the top of the order at this point. Or if you want to go Happ and Dansby, then Seiya. I would probably move Nico down and have him towards the bottom
of the order. Okay.
Yeah, and mix it up. If you want to have him 9 and have him acting as a secondary leadoff, you can.
I like that.
Or you could have him 8 or 7 and put him between some of the guys who are more strikeout prone since he's not down there.
Yeah, so mix it up a little bit. Together hits.
Yes, and you need to break up the possibilities. And the thing is, if you are going to bring Madrigal up or Morel, I would sit Patrick Wisdom down for a while. Patrick Wisdom is a full strikeout. I think he's a 42% K rate since May 1st. I believe I saw that today. It's been brutal. So I start with put Madrigal back up in the mix and have him in your lineup. And then it's either Morel or Madrigal at third base and go ahead and sit Patrick Wisdom for a while.
Yeah, Patrick Wisdom as like the pinch hitter or the occasional, put him in the 7-hole, 8-hole.
Got like a real good matchup you like?
Yes.
Pinch hit him early if you want.
And but yeah, he's been bad. I know that. I wasn't sure just how bad until you started saying that. I was like, oh, well, let me take a look. I didn't realize he was actually below the I knew he was around the Mendoza line. Yeah. I didn't know he was below the Mendoza line. He's hitting 197.
Yeah, it's brutal.
But then over his last eight games, he's got one hit and 27 at-bats.
Yeah.
That's not good.
And the K rate is outrageous. This is Dave in Chicago. He's on 670 The Score. You're on with Spiegs and Marshall Harris on Parkins and Spiegel. What's up, Dave?
Look, I agree with the Madrigal. Bring him up. Get rid of Mastroboni. Yet the DFA wisdom, I don't think his time is done. I don't think Morrell's really the answer either at third. But Madrigal, yeah, let him play, see if he gets traded. Hmm. Now you have to start with Mervis. Have him start every day. Having him start once or twice in a week or every 5 days doesn't work. He needs to play every day to see if his bat can hit. He has, what, the third highest hard ball hit contact right now, and he's just hitting it right at people, unfortunately.
Third highest among rookies. I think it's 24th overall of the 430 players who have had 25 batted ball events. That's what Evan Altman had over at Cubs Insider. Yeah.
And my biggest thing is I like David Ross, but he's not the answer anymore. His decisions have been bad. Last 3 years, there's never a consistent lineup due to either injuries, that happens, or just now this year making these bullpen decisions of when guys should pitch or not. It's not going well for him.
All right. Well, I want to address that more, and maybe we'll do it at the top of the hour, because there's other factors there that I want to address. Let's go to Dale in Hersher. Dale, you're on The Score. What would you do if you were the Cubs brass right now in desperation to try and get some wins over the next 4 or 5 weeks?
Hey, Matt, you kind of beat me to the punch. I would move half up to maybe first or second in the lineup because, you know, his on-base is good, but his slugging percentage is the same as his on-base.
Yeah.
And Mervis, you know, he's got to definitely see what he can do and, you know, quit the platooning with him. He can either play or not. He's just got to be a little more patient. It looks like to me he's pulling everything and instead of going with the pitch more. And other than that, there's Morrell too, but he's another one. He's got to quit chasing the bad pitches.
Yeah, the league adjusted to Morrell, and he has not adjusted back.
It took a second for the league to adjust to Morrell, but once they adjusted, it's been very reminiscent of what we saw last season back half.
Someone at the ballpark said this to me when I was there, a week and a half ago or whatever, said, the league has stopped throwing Christopher Morrell strikes. They've just stopped. And he has not stopped swinging.
Exactly. So if you know you can get him out without throwing strikes, why would you ever throw him a strike?
Yeah.
I'm with that.
And some of those high fastballs that he was destroying that people thought were too high, he's not getting those anymore. But I would still put him out there because there's so much talent there, obviously, and the bat can be electric.
And honestly, who else are you throwing out there? Like, at this point, when you look around, it's the roster itself is not full of, you know, 10, 12 guys who were hitting the cover off the ball.
Yeah. The texture says, I was always sold on 2024 being the start. As long as the young guys grow and show promise, give me my beer snakes this summer and start chugging them next year.
Is that where we are?
That's where that texture is.
Okay. Well, but that's the thing. Like I said, if they hadn't gotten off to the start that they got off to, we wouldn't be talking in this. It's like... The way we talked about the White Sox because of the start they got off to, and now you're like, So I get it both ways. I think, man, I wasn't paying as close attention as I should have been to Patrick Wisdom, and just like I went back 15 games and 23 strikeouts and 48 at bats, four hits.
Woo!
That's
in 15 games.
In 15 games,
yeah.
That's you can't have that. But he's been starting games still,
man,
and playing the distance like.
That texture's saying, I'm just good with the cup snakes. I'm good with my beer snakes and my cup snakes.
But I think a lot of people would have, at the beginning of the season.
And they know it. That's the thing, they know it.
Yeah. So my whole thing was like, hey, if the pitching pitches the way we saw the rotation do at the end of last season, back half, we'll say, and these veteran hitters hit like they should be hitting, even if it's not as good as they were at their prime, you're going to have a chance to win a lot more games than you were. But we see how it's actually playing out. And now that's what's leading us to this whole, are they going to be good enough to like hang around?
Let's address this firing the manager situation. Because there are times when you fire the manager. But I don't think this is it. So I want to talk about it with you next. It's Marshall Harris in for Danny Parkins and Spiegel on 670 The Score.